This is Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial, coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo.
And Cassandra Mraz.
How are you doing, Cassandra?
I'm doing pretty good, You know, it's been a really long week, but I think a really inspiring week, to say the least. What about you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, same. It's been a pretty good week. Seemed to have gone by fast. Also feel very inspired, and we'll get into that later in the show. But I'm guessing you're referring to the meeting we had on Thursday, and the topic of child prisons and child detention centers here locally.
Yeah. It was really amazing to see. Even though it was only like a small portion of the community.
Can you recap
real quick? Yeah, for sure. So for those who don't know, there is a potential immigration detention child center that's being opened up in Arleta, on Woodman and Nordoff. That's like the intersection. And so this coalition, Justice for Children, hosted their meeting here this past Thursday. To kind of see where the community was at in terms of shutting the place down, ultimately was the goal of the coalition. And so here at PYS, we hosted, and it was just inspiring to see like all different walks of life, a lot of youth, which is super inspiring to see, you know, that the future's really, really involved. And just kind of hearing everybody share the same sentiments in a way, and kind of merging the ideas together. So being able to see the community come together, even though it was a small group, and I'm expecting more, just because even with the rally that coalition held on Monday, it was just inspiring to see so many people like on the street, like on the corner, you know, marching, and then having cars pass by, you know, and all the media presence was really inspiring to see, and really cool to see, you know, the community come out for something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into that more a little bit later in the show. We'll also be hopefully sharing some poetry. I know you and I were discussing kind of what we would cover today. I was like, hey, I was thinking about maybe just sharing some poetry as it relates to, like, you know, specifically thinking around this issue of like child detention, but also like war, right? There's been in the news this sort of fear of us going to war with Iran and all that stuff. So we'll cover a little bit of that later down the line. But again, thank you for tuning in. For those folks that that tune into us on the weekends, we appreciate you taking some time to just take a listen. So we'll go ahead and take a short music break, and then we'll come back and get to it. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Thank you. golpe allá en lo lejos, cuando el pescador empieza. Salen los indios diciendo, uy, le roba Luis Cangrejo, y le roba Luis Cangrejo. Salen los indios diciendo, el viejo anciano con su violín, que la barba blanca me dijo así, esos huiles no son para mí, para mi vieja que lo va a freír.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5. Thank you for sticking with us. Just to recap, this is your host, Silverio.
And Cassandra.
And on today's show, we'll be covering a couple of things. We mentioned the topic of child detention centers, prisons, also the topic of war, and we'll be reading some poetry just to sort of tie it all together. I'll go ahead and start. This poem is called Prayer, and this is by Humberto Acabal. May the door of the sun be opened. May the door of the moon be opened. Let it be clear in the sky. Let it be clear on the earth. Let it be clear in the soul, so that the light does not let the darkness take over, and the markings of our road will remain. Humberto Acabal is a Maya Quiche poet. He was born in 1952 in Momostenango, Totonicapan. His poetry has been published in French, English, Estonian, Scots, German, Arabic, and Italian. He's got a number of books and a number of awards spanning decades. I wanted to read that poem because it's sort of one, it's short, and but also it's very powerful, and it kind of it's almost like an arrow that sort of opens up the space to life, to open the space to talk about these tough and devastating topics. I wanted to touch on like why poetry, you know, why yeah, I guess why poetry? And to me, I feel like, and I've heard it mentioned and said by other folks, mentors of mine and teachers, poets themselves, that poetry in some ways is, maybe in all ways, is the language of the soul. That it's non-ordinary language. It's language that brings with it some form of sacredness or rootedness, deep rootedness, that we might not sometimes be able to convey with just you know, your everyday language. And so it also lends itself to engage and to speak about, again, topics such as war and prison, child prisons and detention centers, in a way that, in a way, I think, that doesn't have us hang on to the potential hopelessness of it all, and instead bring something beautiful from that darkness, as the prayer calls for, clearness, right? For it to be clear. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Cassandra. I know you have a poem as well.
Yeah, I do. So before I start, just a little background on the poet that I'm about to read a poem from. Her name is Joy Harjo. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that. But she is an internationally renowned performer and writer of the Creek Nation, and was just named the 23rd Poet Laureate of the United States just this past year in 2019. And as far as I'm aware, she's also the first Native American woman. She is currently the author of 9 books of poetry, plays, and children's books, including her own memoir called Crazy Brave. She also has many honors that she's collected over the years. Just to name a few, she has been awarded the Ruth Lilly Prize for Lifetime Achievement from the Poetry Foundation. She's also received the Academy of American Poets Wallace Stevens Award. And she's also currently a founding board member of the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. And right now she currently resides in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she is also a Tulsa Artist Fellow. So that's a little bit about Joy. And this is going to be her poem called How to Write a Poem in a Time of War. You can't begin just anywhere. It's a wreck. Shrapnel and the eye of a house, a row of houses. There's a rat scrambling from light with fleshy trash in its mouth, a baby strapped to its mother's back, cut loose. Soldiers crawl the city, the river, the town, the village, the bedroom, our kitchen. They eat everything, or burn it. They kill what they cannot take. They rape what they cannot kill, they take. Rumors fall like rain, like bombs, like mother and father, tears swallowed for restless peace, like sunset slanting towards a moonless midnight, like a train blown free of its destination, like a seed fallen where there is no chance of trees or any place for birds to live. No, start here. Deer peer from the edge of the woods. We used to see woodpeckers, the sides of the sun, redbirds, and we were greeted by the chickadees with their good morning songs. We'd started to cook outside, slippery with dew and laughter. Ah, those smoky, sweet sunrises. We tried to pretend war wasn't going to happen, though they began building their houses all around us and demanding more. They started teaching our children their God's story, a story in which we would always be slaves. No, not here. You can't begin here. This is a memory shredded because it's impossible to hold by words, even poetry. These memories were left here with the trees, the torn pocket of your daughter's hand-sewn dress, the sash, the lace. The baby's delicately beaded moccasins still connected to the foot, a young man's note of promise to his beloved. No, this is not the place to begin. Everyone was asleep despite the distant bombs. Terror had become the familiar stranger. Our beloved twin girls curled up in their nightgowns next to their father and me. If we begin here, none of us will make it to the end of the poem. Someone has to make it out alive, sang a grandfather to his grandson. his granddaughter as he blew his most powerful song into the hearts of the children. There it would be hidden from the soldiers, who would take them miles, rivers, mountains from the naval court place of the original story. He knew one day, far day, the grandchildren would return, generations later, over slick highways constructed over old trails, through walls of laws meant to hamper or destroy, over the libraries of the ancestors in the winds, born in stones. His song brings us to his home place in these smoky hills. Begin here. And that is the poem.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. Just reading it even now again, it, like, my brain is, like, firing off, you know? Having to think. I don't know. I just, there's just so much to grasp at. But I guess, how did you feel listening to that? Or, like, what are your initial feelings? How are you feeling right now?
I'm, like, almost speechless. I feel like, of course, like, I don't know that I was able to really capture every single word and all, you know, everything that was said, but that first part really kind of, like, hit me just, like, the images of rats, and, like, I feel like it really touches sort of, like, that, it almost makes me cringe to some degree, and I feel like it brings up this unsavory feeling of, like, disgust and just revulsion, you know, and I think that, one, because, you know, obviously the topic, right, like war and, like rape, right, and it's a difficult, heavy topic, and then at the same time, it seems like it touches that part, I think that's maybe universal to everybody, that's capable of committing these atrocities, right? And so yeah, it's very heavy and I'm still kind of processing.
I totally get that, because even now, just like rereading it, because I read it like off the air, you know, and just to kind of get familiar with the tone and stuff that she was trying to portray, just reading it and hearing it out loud, like me actually saying it out loud and not just in my head, seems as though, like, the stuff that's really harsh to talk about is also delicate at the same time. It's like this contrast that the themes kind of share. And I think that's a kind of like the beautiful thing about poetry to me, is that you could read a poem and then like your friend can read a poem and they can have two different perspectives. And in the end, kind of the perspectives kind of just merge a little bit, because there's going to always be some sort of comparison. But yeah, I totally get that, because as I was reading, I was like, okay, these people... Or she's writing about these people that are experiencing these, like, trash-filled cities, you know, which are often images that are shared when, you know, war has consumed a community or consumed a country. And then you also have stories of people, of the soldiers from the opposite or whoever's invading, coming and taking everything that's theirs. I guess, like, to put it in terms, it's kind of like, if you've ever seen the movie Mulan, where, like, the Han, like, to put it in that terms, like, that visual, like, where the Hans come in and they just, like, ransack the entire village and they burn everything and then they kind of just keep moving until they conquer everything, you know? I think that's kind of, like, what I picture, and even just, like, in real life, like, you know, a country invading another one, just going more and more and more and more.
Yeah, like this insatiable appetite.
Yeah, like, they're never satisfied.
Right.
And I think that's kind of like the scary thing too about war, is that when is it enough, you know? Mm. Just because like if you look back to like World War II, you know, Germany was like, Hitler wanted to like basically conquer all of Europe, if you think about it. And he went from country to country to country until, you know, the US and then the other allies kind of came together in a group to say kind of like, enough is enough, we need to fight this type of thing. But even then, so many people were damaged. And even with like here, the colonization of like the Native Americans and, you know, people coming from Europe to colonize. It's one of those things that they kept pushing them farther and farther and farther away. And now these Native Americans are just in reservations. It's like we pushed them, well, we didn't push them, but like the colonizers pushed them so far that now they only have like a piece of land where in reality they had a whole country. So it's just kind of crazy to think, like, you know, all these perspectives and stuff like that. Super, super interesting. But I totally get that too, because I'm still kind of processing, like, oh, all these things can happen, yeah, or can be related to this.
Yeah, and again, you know, the decision to sort of focus on this particular topic is, you know, of course, as many folks know, President Trump authorized the killing of the Iranian general, and there's talks of a potential war, right? And so it's been in the news lately, and at least it's been on my mind in a number of ways, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But again, this is a sort of a way to, I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe for myself to maybe engage with those feelings and maybe to let them out or just to express them. And then at the same time to also say that this is, you know, I don't want war. Like, I don't support war.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I think, yeah, just with the recent killing of that Iranian general who was like the second most powerful man, I guess, in Iran. So he's the equivalent to our vice president, who would be our vice president here. And, you know, there's like the memes and stuff, and like, yeah, like, you know, like people can be lighthearted, but like in reality, if we were to go to war with a country like Iran, or just like with a country in general, just to be in a war can cause some of the things that Joy talks about in her poem. Like, we might not experience it firsthand, but we will see it in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and for it to go through, like, first, like, I've never pictured myself growing up and living through a war, just because, you know, I just never thought it would happen. And now with us kind of being on the brink of possibly entering another war, that was kind of started, you know, like you hear all these news stories, it was kind of started like on a whim, or like it was like the last option and he chose the last option. And having not only our country, but the country that, you know, we're going to war with, those people too are also going to suffer just as much as, you know, our people are going to suffer, because they're going through the same thing, even though, yeah, we're, you know, we have a good economy or whatever, and you want to say that, you know, America's great, there's still going to be people suffering on both sides, of no matter what side you're on in terms of the war. But yeah, I just think it's a really good poem, and a really good door to kind of be open in this discussion, to kind of come with those feelings, because for a while I'm like, oh, I don't think we're gonna go to war, and then now it's like more prominent, and now, you know, with talks of possibly the draft being open, just because we don't know if it's gonna escalate to it being war. And this is not, just before we continue, this is not to like scare anybody or anything, but I just think it's a good discussion to have, to avoid not being able to process those feelings if it were to happen and stuff like that. So we're not trying to scare anybody out there. It's just more of having to have a conversation, because sometimes people don't like to talk about these things because it makes them uncomfortable, right? Or they just don't want to come to terms sometimes with the possibility that this can happen,
right,
in a community or just in a country in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be the U.S. versus somebody else. It's just, you know, a war anywhere, I think, at this point can affect any country in the world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
With people, you know, leaving and fleeing and stuff for their safety.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot to explore there. I think it's time for another music break.
Yeah, I think we need another music break, yeah, and then we can get more into the poem.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, so here's another music break, and we'll return with some more discussion. Thanks for listening. Thank you. You're listening to Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5, coming to you live from our studios at Poli Salud in the city of San Fernando. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo.
And Cassandra Meraz.
And thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that selection of music. Again, we left off with a beautiful and heartbreaking poem on war.
Yeah, so for those who are just tuning in or have been listening to us this morning, we were just covering before the music the poem called How to Write a Poem in a Time of War by Joe Harjo, is how I would say it. So sorry if I mispronounced that. But yeah, Silverio, we were kind of talking about how poetry in a sense can be interpreted in different ways or can be applied to different areas of someone's life or just like different areas in general. Something that I wanted to bring up is as I was reading it out loud and I kept, you know, and I was reading it throughout the break, certain wars, or it didn't really connect to just one specific war or one specific instance in like in history, I guess you can say, or just in recent history, I kind of found connections in different places. So something like along the lines of, you know, the line that says, these memories were left here with the trees, the torn pocket of your daughter's hand-sewn dress, the sash, the lace, the baby's delicate beaded moccasins still connected to the foot, a young man's note of promise to his beloved. That kind of just like makes me picture like people moving from place to place or like from country to country. And this specifically, I can just kind of see, you know, like the Native Americans when they were colonized, having to travel down the Trail of Tears in groups with their family, many of them dying because of the conditions and just because they were told, you know, you gotta leave, like we're here now, you know, you gotta find somewhere else to live. And I think that kind of, I guess, kind of ties back into like the whole immigration thing and people having to flee their countries just because they're war ridden, you know, and then they come here and it's kind of like quote unquote a war on them because they look different from everybody else who's here in America. And just like reading that, I can kind of see it happening even now, like when it happened to the Native Americans in the past, but even now with immigrants coming to America for this American dream that they've always heard about or they've seen or people have talked to them and given all these stories about them. And you know, that journey that they have to take from country to country is kind of, I guess, relatable to this in a sense. And it kind of puts things in perspectives or gives a visual to how sometimes people don't want to leave their house, but they kind of have to. And no matter where they go, if they were to come back to that place, like it says, the memories will be left with the trees because the, you know, trees live forever. So they were to come back with their family, you know, or then themselves, they could relive the memory of being there without the, you know, the war and stuff like that or anything that might have made them move on, I guess. But yeah, but do you have anything to add to that or anything that you like that stood out to you from the poem?
Yeah, when you were reading those particular lines, what I thought about too was like sort of the effects of war on it's an assault on youth, right? Or youthfulness, in a literal sense, right? In the sense of like you know, folks die in war, right? Like whether, you know, soldiers or civilians, right? And oftentimes those most affected are the young people, directly or indirectly, whether through being killed themselves, but or also by losing loved ones, right? Their parents, and so it again, it brings up for me like again, sort of war's destruction on also on generations, right? Whole generations, and then the effects of that. What does that do to those that are left behind, right, after the war is done? So and then maybe to take it a bit deeper also, you know, the effects of war and death on life itself, right? If we think about young people as embodying life itself and the guarantee of the continuance of life, war is an impediment or a constricting of life itself. And yeah, so when you were reading that, that's what I thought was like, whoa, like the effects of war on generations and you know, and we can talk about, you know, colonization, right, and bringing it now to contemporary times too, and how, you know, I know myself as a person of Mexican descent, right, like I am a product of that. Also, as we know, Spanish colonization and what is now Mexico, and the effects of that now. And then, yeah, so there's definitely a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
But it makes me think of, that's a great segue into the other topic that we had mentioned earlier, which is the child detention centers, right?
Yeah, yeah, the child detention centers, and kind of like going off of that, where, you know, war or necessarily being traumatized at a young age can often impede them from growing or from being as free as we would like kids to see, you know, because you would hate for a child to go through some of the hardships of war, or even having to do the transition from moving, from being forced out essentially of their home. And I think, kind of going back to the detention center thing, with the possibility of a detention center opening up in a community that, you know, is often criminalized or is often targeted by certain individuals, have a center that kind of embodies that is kind of like a slap in the face, I would say, because, you know, we're supposed to come, like, people that I know, and like also being of Mexican descent, you know, or, you know, Hispanics and, like, you know, other people from other countries are supposed to come to America and find this sort of freedom that they don't really see in their countries. And for an organization or the possibility of a detention center being opened up in their community, they're kind of feeling, I would assume most people would feel targeted, just because, you know, they left a place where they felt targeted, and now they're coming to a place where they thought they could be free and express themselves and express their opinions, and now there's a center opening up. And I think the worst part of the center is that the fact that it's proposed to be a child center, and going back to your point, children are kind of the ones that are the future, and for them to be put into a place that necessarily impedes them from making the change or from experiencing the youth and the freedom of being a kid sucks, honestly, to say it, you know, to say it that bluntly. It kind of sucks to see that, you know, people are willing to put in these kids who travel miles, you know, for freedom, or, you know, just for a better life, to be stuck in a, I hate to call it a jail, but a jail, you know.
Yeah, no, it is.
And not be able to experience that freedom and stuff like that. And that kind of goes back to the poem too, of, you know, the section where the grandfather is, you know, singing the song to his grandson and hoping one day that his grandchildren or his great-grandchildren would return to the place where he's at. But over time, you know, the generations either get angrier, or they start to understand more the kind of the things that have stopped the generations from growing. So, you know, the traditions and the cultures have often changed, like, further down the line, and not really, you know, understanding why me type of thing is kind of crazy. But yeah, it kind of just goes back to that whole detention center thing, and not allowing it to happen, which is why the Justice for Children Coalition is a really good it's a really good coalition to start up right now and kind of face that problem head on, just because it's in such a, in the times that we're in also, it's kind of one of those things that's like, great, another thing to add to, you know, immigration or to the, or to the communities being scared, you know, because it sucks. Like, it sucks to think that somebody came to America for freedom, and or just for the ability to be who they are, and be able to enjoy themselves and be, you know, who they are, whether they're Mexican, they're Salvadoran, they're Guatemalan, they're Chilean, anything Central American, European, you know, Haitian, whatever they may be, and to come and live somewhere and then be slapped in the face with a detention center, which sucks. Like, just in general, just that would be horrible. Like, so I think it's a really good poem, and I think it's a really good a good way to kind of think about the immigration detention center, or just detention centers in general, from this kind of perspective of, I don't want to go as far as saying it's like modern day colonization, but like, I don't know what else to call it, you know. But
no, you're right,
you know, people are getting placed in these things, kind right. of how, you know, the Native Americans were given these reservations of like, okay, like, you know, this is kind of like our quote-unquote apology for removing you from your original lands and stuff, so we're gonna give you this like piece of land as kind of a, like a sorry. And at some point, I don't think that's enough for people, because they've lost so much
right.
in the transitions from, you know, moving from place to place, or just having to find a new home for them and for, you know, the community and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You're right when you mentioned, like, this is a continuation of the U.S.'s manifest destiny, right? Like, for folks that, you know, went to university and studied maybe Chicano studies or ethnic studies. I studied ethnic studies, right? And that was the one of the main focuses of ethnic studies, is studying the multiple forms of colonization mm-hmm. and how they continue to exist now, and possibly in some ways in a more sinister way, because they become normalized, mm-hmm. right? And so it's possible that for some it's okay and acceptable to imprison children as young as you know, 3 or younger in a prison, you know. And so yeah, you're right, it is a continuation of that. And yeah, I mean, we can, that would be a whole separate maybe a whole separate show, but
yeah we can go on and on with this topic. But I think it's just important for those listening or for those tuning in that you know, stuff like this needs to get brought to light and to a place where people are comfortable, kind of like how we're here conversing and stuff like that, about these topics, whether you're for it or against it. Because I guess the more, like you said, kind of like the more you normalize it, the more it's easy to kind of ignore, because it's like, oh, that always happens, or yeah, that's been happening, like what can I do to make a difference. And I think just even starting a discussion or a conversation, you know, with people that you're comfortable with, or in a group setting that you're comfortable with, to kind of see what people's perspectives are. And not, people are not always going to agree, and people, you know, might not feel comfortable talking, but I think it's an important discussion to have, yeah. Especially now.
Yeah, I also can't help but to think about, you know, we use the word war, right? And obviously you think of a very specific sort of context, right, of what a war is. But really, we live in a culture and in a society that is fundamentally at war, right? In a number of ways, right? When you think about white supremacy, for example, right? And you know, the U.S. was founded on the principles of white supremacy, right? It's very institution, right? Slavery and the slaughter and slaughter of indigenous folks, mm-hmm. Right? Genocide, the outright, and then of course within that the devastating assault and rape of Native women, and destructive and sickening use of African women to give, you know, to secure the continual wealth of slave owners by breeding, right? So,
and then even like, this is not even talked about a lot, but like the detaining of like the Japanese Americans, right, and stuff like that, that's that people don't really know about.
Right.
But if you travel up the state of California outside of Mammoth, you could visit a camp, quote unquote campsite, where they kept Japanese Americans because people were afraid. And just in general, like now with the fact of these detention centers, there's no reason to keep these people in cages. And for someone who doesn't say it's a cage, it's a cage.
Yeah.
Like,
what is going on? What is going on?
Like,
United States, like,
there's no justification for any of these things happening. Whether right. we go all the way back to the Native Americans, we go back to slavery.
But you know what's crazy is that for some people there is, and they hide behind law.
Right? Yeah.
Law.
Yeah. Right? So it's important to have these discussions so you can kind of be like, okay, well, what's your justification for this? Because this is mine. And sometimes, you know, it's crazy to think that people are like, well,
They broke the law.
Or they should have came the right way.
Right.
You know, they should have applied for asylum, or they should have. But then you've heard many stories of people applying for asylum and it's still not going the right way. Or, you know, or maybe they should have just stayed where they were and stuff like that. Or, you know, if it was so bad, why would they do an even more dangerous journey to come here? And it's just like, at some point, you kind of have to decide, like, would I rather, it's kind of like that phrase, like, I'd rather would die trying to get to, you know, like, I'd rather would die trying to get somewhere, instead of staying here where I know I won't be given the same opportunities or give my kids the same opportunities if I were to travel to this country. You know, and it's just crazy. It's crazy. We can go on and on about this topic. But I think this is a good transition to kind of just get into a music break.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I agree. So here's a bit of music and we'll be back in a couple minutes. You're listening to Radio Lean, KROJ 101.5, coming to you live from our studios at Pobli Salud in the city of San Fernando. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo.
And Cassandra Meraz.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that musical break. We're just about done with our show for today. We have just a couple of announcements and one last poem to close it off. But couple announcements here. We've been mentioning the possibility of a child prison detention center being opened up here in the city of Arleta. For folks that are interested in getting involved in opposing that, you can come to the next Justice for Children meeting, which is being held January 23rd at 6 p.m. The location is still to be determined. For more information, you can call us here at 818-837-2272. For those folks interested in the annual Cesar Chavez March, there's an organizing meeting on January 16th at 6 p.m. here at Pueblo Salud, 1024 North McClay, Suite M13 in the city of San Fernando. And finally, for folks wanting to support the march financially, you can attend our Warriors for Justice dinner, which is happening January 29th at 7 p.m. You can purchase your tickets here at Pueblo Salud, one for $30 or two for $50. And that'll be, again, Thursday, January 30th at 6 p.m. at Avanti Banquet Hall. Again, you can call 818-837-2272 for more info or visit us here at the office.
And yeah, thanks, Silverio, for sharing those community events. So we're just encouraging you. If you want to get involved to, you know, join those coalitions, we want to thank you again for listening to us and for, you know, just listening to us every weekend. We really appreciate it. But just before we send you guys off, we want to leave you with a poem by Suhi Hamad. It is called Poems of War, Peace, Woman, and Power. She is going to perform, she is a spoken word piece called What I Will. So we're just going to leave you guys with that. But yeah, thanks for listening. Have a good Saturday.
Thank you.
I will not dance to your war drum. I will not lend my soul nor my bones to your war drum. I will not dance to that beating. I know that beat. It is lifeless. I know intimately that skin you are hitting. It was alive once, hunted, stolen, stretched. I will not dance to your drummed up war. I will not pop, spin, break for you. I will not hate for you or even hate you. I will not kill for you. Especially, I will not die for you. I will not mourn the dead with murder nor suicide. I will not side with you or dance to bombs because everyone is dancing. Everyone can be wrong. Life is a right, not collateral or casual. I will not forget where I come from. I will craft my own drum. Gather my beloved near and our chanting will be dancing. Our humming will be drumming. I will not be played. I will not lend my name nor my rhythm to your beat. I will dance and resist and dance and persist and dance. This heartbeat is louder than death. Your war drum ain't louder than this breath.